Hadith Qudsi, this is narrated in Bukhari and Muslim. It's a very important hadith which is narrated in such confirmed and authentic books, and in the rank, this is a Hadith Qudsi. In the status, it is a Hadith Qudsi. So this message, we can consider and understand that we should listen to it very clearly, this message. It is stated that the servant of Allah, his every good deed, the reply to every good deed, it gets 10 times over. And then from 10 times it increases, multiplies. And the reward for that good deed, it goes from 10 up to 700 times. It is multiplied for one good deed, the reward. The highest level it can get to. In other words, it can go up to 700 times the reward. A good deed. And a good deed is, for example, if you remove even a rock or a stone that's in the way of somebody, that's a good deed. If you tell somebody the way, the route, that's a good deed. If you smile at somebody and just talk with them, that's a good deed. In this hadith, it's stated that any good deed, don't consider a good deed as a minor, and never consider a sin as a minor, as a small thing. Because the smallest good deed, it can take you to paradise and save you from hell. So if its status is so much, then if it increases to 700 times the rank, for example, even if you give sadaqah, charity equivalent to a date, and a date has no importance, it is stated that when this sadaqah of yours increases, then it gets to the rank status more than the amount of Uhud in reward. So when this will be weighed on the scale in the hereafter, on the mizan, then such great rewards will be visible, then the man will regret, I made a mistake, I considered this as a minor good deed. Small action, I thought it was nothing. I thought it was insignificant. So this is the desire and passion that's being developed for us, that the believer is such a thing, that every second the mu'min, the believer, is a machine, that he can manufacture his things in the hereafter in paradise, because there's no shortage of good deeds. There's so many good deeds, vast. There's so many good deeds that the amount of times we breathe in a day, we can do good deeds. Good deeds aren't just this, that you leave house to go salah and you pray salah and that's one good deed. Or you recite Quran, these are just the good deeds. No. Allah hasn't restricted the good deeds for a mu'min believer. There are many, many good deeds. Allah spread out and on different levels, and Allah has given us such a great achievement with the good deeds that Allah increases them to 700 times. Allah multiplies the reward. So the first principle here we need to understand and do is that every second, every moment, look, seek that I want to do a good deed right now. Look for a chance. Look for an opportunity. I want to do a good deed. And always keep on trying and making the effort, the servant should. So the hadith tells us that when the individual does a good deed, then that good deed, the reward increases to 700 times over. 700 times. So salah is a great achievement, that when you pray one salah, then imagine 700 times it multiplies the reward. So whose reward is increased? We don't know. Allah knows who. For example, we've come to pray salah, and we all stood in one row, in one saf, and there's a thief in that row, and there's a bandit in that row, there's a criminal in that row, there's a pious person in that row, there's a scholar in that row, there's a qari in that row, there's a hafid in that row, and they're all in one line. There are so many people in one line, and everybody's come to pray salah. And they're all different people, different characters. There's a sinful person. But when he stood in that line to pray salah, in one line, in one saf, now we don't know the whose salah will increase to the level of 700 times the reward. Nobody can claim that I am that person. But with Allah's karam, generosity, it reaches to that level, 700 times the reward. Everyone stood in the same line. Everyone's salah is accepted. Because being accepted is one thing, and to do an action is another thing, and to get the darajat, the rank, the status is another thing, separate. So we all stood in salah, we all stood there, Allah's order, instruction, we have implemented it. So that's fine, we've implemented that order, Allah's accepted that. Because when you implement an order, Allah Ta'ala, then you says you are free from the action. Allah says pray salah, you stand to pray salah. But beyond that, the darajat, the rank, the status to increase that, no, everyone has a different than result. You understand what I'm saying? Yes. So where it was, as far as it was to pray salah, everyone's equal. The thief, the bandit, the criminal, the sinful person, the wrong people, they all stood there. They're all in that self. No one can say that he's not completed the salah. Everyone submitted, bowed, raised their hands. Everyone's implemented Allah's order. We've all come to pray salah. So they're all equal in the implementation. No differentiation. But as for the reward, for the thawab, that's different. Yes, we can't judge. We can't say who gets more reward, who gets less reward. So what is this? This is why Allah Ta'ala has given different rank for salah. Somebody's got 500 times over reward, somebody's 400, sometimes 200 reward, somebody's 150. So in reality, what we need to do, we want the reward. Yes, salah has been prayed, implemented. But what we want is that our salah also reaches to the heights of 700 times the reward. We should try for this or not, should we? Everybody should try. Everybody should know about this. Yes. So if we've come for salah, our salah should be so high level, so great, that Allah said that your salah should reach to the level of 700 times the multiplication. So this is with every deed. Every good deed. Any action, if you implement a good deed. If you do umrah, you do hajj, you do tawaf, you read Quran, you recite Quran. Any action you do, it depends on you. If you start an action and you do that action, but now the thawab, the reward, that will it reach to 700 times the level? And it reaches to that level. It does, to the multiplication of the reward. So why don't we work hard to get it to that quality level? Think about it. Why don't we think about this? Now on the Day of Judgment, when we're presented, we will see people again reward 700 times, 700 times each for each salah. We just prayed salah. How fortunate are those people whose salah has taken him to 700 times increased level of reward just for this salah. There are people like that. They are present. Those who work hard, make effort. Yes, who take it seriously. Each deed, I should do something. Yes, because I know I'm going to die. So they do it. And those who say, oh, I've just come to pray salah. Alhamdulillah, I prayed salah. Yes, I've got one level of reward. One reward I've got for it. That's fine. That's enough. You understand what I mean? So there's difference here. So we should at least compare, that at least I should have a desire, a passion, a determination, that I should increase the quality of my deeds to that level that Allah gives the maximum reward. Such high rank rewards Allah gives if we increase the quality of our deeds. Right. So now we've understood this hadith, the first part. That one good deed, if a person does it, Allah says, I can give and increase his reward up to 700 times the amount. But Allah says, but there's one deed, subhanAllah, there's one action, Allah says, that is separate to this. In other words, That doesn't fall under this banner. Allah Ta'ala is up to him, whatever law he makes. Allah says, there's one action I've kept, that it doesn't come under this law, this rule, is mustasna. It's separate. It's a separate principle or rule that's applied to that deed. So what's the reward for that deed? Allah says, forget about 700 or numbers. Allah says, its reward is separate. What's its reward? That Allah says, myself, I will give the ajr, the reward for the action, myself, personally. Subhanallah. Think about it. Yes, Allah says, that I just spoke about general deeds, salah, fasting, hajj. But there's one deed, Allah says, this is Sahih Qudsi hadith. I'm sharing with you Sahih Muslim, Sahih Bukhari, this hadith is. Listen to it. Allah says that this separate deed, action, I have separated it, kept it separate. Why? Because Allah says the reward, the reply to that response I will give now. If Allah will give from His own preference, then nobody can compare to that deed, subhanAllah. What amount Allah will give, imagine. Allah can give as much as He wants. He can give the quantity He wants. And we cannot imagine our minds that one Jahannami who's destined for hell, a Muslim who comes out, he'll come out last from hell. Yes, because it's stated there, the person of Iman, who has belief, even if he has an atom's weight of Iman, then he will be taken out of hell eventually, and he will be inserted into paradise. It's clear, isn't it? Accept it? So that person, right at the end, he'll come out of hell, he'll be free from hell, freed, the last man totally will be freed from Jahannam. He'll say, where will I get a place in Jannah? Jannah must be full now. I don't know, where am I going to get a place? In some corner place. Maybe I'll be put in some corner, remote corner. So when he enters into paradise, and he will see, and he'll get dizzy, he'll have a protocol, respect, dignity will be given to him, and respect. Jannah will be decorated for him. And Allah will say, that he'll say, Allah, have I come to the wrong place? Allah will say, no, you've come to the right place. He'll say, is this Jannah? Who's this paradise for? The reply will come, for you. For me, this is Jannah. And it will be said, it's for you. You say, is it? Whoa. You say, Allah, couldn't even imagine. And it will be said to him, that do you prefer that dunya that you left, that world, that 10 times more space I give to you in Jannah? And he will say, Ajib, Allah, why are you joking with me, Allah? Allah, this Jannah, you are showing me in front of me. I don't even believe in this. Allah will say, go, I've given to you all of this I've given to you. That dunya that we're living in now, this dunya, 10 times more, not dunya, Jannah. The Allah in the hereafter, he said, the last person who was in hell, he got this. وَمَا ذَلِكَ Allah says, بِالْعَذِيذ Aziz, there's nothing lacking Allah in His giving. That, are you connected to Allah? You're connected to the Creator. And even for you to think is ajeeb here, that in front of Allah, if you say, Allah, what can you give to me? So he said, Allah says, I have this one action, salah, fasting, hajj, all the deeds you do, put them to one side. They can only go 700 times in their ranked status. But there's one such deed. Allah says, I'll give the reward for that. I will give the reply for that. I will give the response for that. Are you ready? Are you ready, Allah Ta'ala says, for taking that reward? Are you all ready for that reward? Say it, isn't it? Say it. Are you ready? Then Allah says, it's fasting. Through which we are passing. Ramadan. You haven't said subhanAllah anybody. Are you not happy? Are you not happy? That Allah Ta'ala is saying, that such a deed I will give to you, that I will give you the reply, the response, the reward I'll give to you personally. Allah, what is action? Allah says, fasting. Fasting. So has Allah Ta'ala not given us fasting? He's given us fasting. So this is the deed, fasting, that will take a person right forward. Allah's made it unique, separate. Do you understand the point I'm making now? Yes, and we are keeping the fast right now. So what is the reward for this? The reply, Allah says, leave it to me on the day of judgment when the fasting person comes in front of me. What will I give to him? Allah says, stand back. You don't know what reward I want to give to my servant. Allah Ta'ala, what thawab he'll give, what reward he'll give to the fasting person. That fast that we've kept and we're sitting here now. Alhamdulillah. What have we done? Nothing. We've done nothing. Yes. There's probably more hard work that we do than this. For example, we have to go Umrah. Tell me, you have to buy the ticket, spend money, book the ticket, travel sea, plane sea, travel journey, book a hotel. You might get a place, you might not get a place. Then you have to wear the haram, then do tawaf, sa'i, safa, marwa, get pushed and shoved around. Thousands of struggles, and then we will get one ibadah complete. And how much reward? Up to 700 times. What have you done here? Ramadan, you got up in the morning, you had food according to your desire, your preference, whatever you like, korma, paratha, chicken, and juice you could drink, full ijazah, permission, eat. Has Allah Ta'ala stopped you? No, full dasturkhwan in front of you. And mashallah, it's your destiny, that how much stomach, your stomach is capable, how much it can digest and work and make effort. Yes, your immune system, how strong it is, that after eating vitamins and vitamins, Allah's given you open ijaza, permission, in the morning to eat. Dastarkhan, food mat is open, eat what you want. You understand what I'm saying? So what's the great achievement? There's more enjoyments after that. Yes, we're eating beautiful food, delicious eggs, whatever you want. There's no restriction, there's no hard work here. Then after that, just stay quiet and go and rest. Allah says, fast and don't eat now after this. Go and see, you can see it. And even while you're walking around, you don't remember, you're fasting. Yes, and the time passes through the fast. And we don't feel much, do we? The fast. Just a little bit, maybe. Just even if you feel a little bit, you just persevere. Yes, this is the fast, isn't it? Yeah, after that then, what happens? What do? Then the food mat spreads out, subhanAllah. Again, the food mass spreads out, and such dates, and we break them, and all forms and species of dates are in front of us. 100 ajwa, this date, that day, all stacks of dates, water, zamzam. And then we go home, then this preparation, mashallah, and then you have your own food mat at home, and you're eating their food delicacies. So in the few hours, all you did is stop eating, and you get so much for this. Yes, in comparison to the other deeds, if you look, the other actions, you find a lot of hardship in those deeds. Yes, a lot of hardship, a lot of mushkilat. Yes, there's nothing in it, in fasting. And the reward Allah is giving is more than 700 times over. The highest and greatest reward, Allah says, I'll give you the reward for fasting myself. So this is the fast. Do you understand what I'm saying? So now what's the objective, the purpose, Allah Ta'ala? That, what's speciality, uniqueness in fasting? What's the special thing we're doing? Most definitely there must be something inherent in the fast. Most definitely there must be something in the characteristic of fasting that the Hadith Qudsi is telling us. That just by in the morning you ate and then you stopped eating, drinking and fasted and broke the fast after that, how great reward Allah is giving. Such a great reward. How can we attain this? For a person, for a man, for a woman, such a great reward just for fasting. That's such a great maqam and status Allah is giving. Especially Allah Ta'ala is saying Himself, the reason is that the reward for fasting I give myself, because this action, this ibadah worship that he has done istathna, is separate to the other deeds, and this ibadah is especially, specifically for my sake, my servant's fasting. Especially, remember this point. Whoever understands this, he becomes a strong and a solid Muslim. I'm telling you this. Whoever understands this point of this hadith, he's become a solid Muslim. And Sufis, listen carefully. You are Sufi Hazrat, mashallah. You are strong Muslims. You've come here to become strong and better Muslims. Listen to this point. You are dhakir, shakir, morning, evening, you do dhikr, muraqabat. And mashallah, it's a very necessary message for you in this. So until now what I've said, have you understood what I've said? Allah Ta'ala Himself says the reason, I'll tell you why, for the fasting person, this ibadah is special, specially for my sake, the fasting person. So Allah, who was salah for then? Question mark. Who did a person pray for? Who did a person do other fasts for around the year? Allah, you're saying that the fast in Ramadan is for me. Then where have all the other ibadah gone? We make a niyah that we're praying salah for Allah's sake. Say subhanAllah. So what about the reward for those? We say this, don't we? Allah, my face is towards Kaaba. Allah, I pray this many rakats. Allahu Akbar. For every action we're doing for the sake of Allah, we do the same for Allah's sake. So why is the fast different, Allah? Do you understand what I'm saying? We should understand. It's a very important point. If we don't understand it, we'll lose out if we don't understand it. So how can this be separate, this point? That all other deeds, ibadah, worship we do for your sake, Allah, And Allah, we pray for you, our face is facing you. Yes, and we say as well, it's all for your sake, our prayer, our worship, our recital, everything we do. This is the case, isn't it? So then we even don't know what's so unique about the fast. And you are saying for the fast, especially the fasting person is doing it for my sake, Allah says, and it's me who will give the reward. And he stayed hungry for me, he stayed thirsty for me, and he left his wife for my sake. So what about Salah, Allah, and all the other deeds we're doing? Allah says, I cannot say anything about those deeds. My servant says, but I can't say, Allah says, I can't say, but I can say for fasting that you're doing it for my sake, Allah says. MashaAllah. So you've understood now the point here, the root point here, that by saying you cannot prove, remember this, by saying you cannot prove to Allah you're doing something for Allah's sake, I'm doing this action for Allah, I'm doing this for Allah's sake, Allah says no. The confirmation will be when Allah says himself that you are doing this deed for my sake. That's when the confirmation and the success comes. Understand what I'm saying? Yeah. So if we say, Allah, my face is towards Kaaba, I'm praying for Allah, I'm doing this for Allah, I'm doing that for Allah. Allah says, you're saying it? Fine, you're saying it. But that action that our Creator says that He's doing specially for me, then that's purely for Allah's sake, that action. So what is the quality and characteristic of fasting? Allah says that this ibadah, this worship, there's one thing hidden that I really, for this reason, I respond to your ibadah. Allah says in Ramadan, this fast of Ramadan, that I want you to develop that same quality across the board. And what is that? In this ibadah of fasting, especially purely the thing that's present, is that your full ikhlas, sincerity in your fast. That's what's there. How? You'll ask the question. A small child is keeping the fast. A small child is keeping the fast. Now if the child, if you give the power and try as forcefully as you want, the child will not break the fast before the time. He will never break the fast. If you put sweets, chocolates, the child will not eat the sweets and chocolate. He will keep on looking at them. The children, they keep the fast, don't they? The children, they will say, no, I don't want this. I don't want the sweets. I don't want the chocolates. Yes? Doesn't matter how man a person's old, he doesn't pray salah, but he will keep the fast. And he sat on his own. And he's extremely hungry, the old person. And he's extremely thirsty, but he won't break the fast. Subhanallah. Yes? MashaAllah, I won't say it. But the majority, I won't say everybody, but the majority will say, no, I can't eat or drink, I can't break the fast. No, why not? No, I don't want to. You will stay ready, that will extend the fast to the end, then I'll break the fast. Even a small child doesn't break the fast. Why? Because inside the child or the other person, this ibadah, this worship, this develops purity and sincerity for the sake of Allah. Do you understand the point I'm making? Especially and purely and selectively for Allah's sake, that when he eats the suhoor pre-dawn meal, he says, Allah, I'm leaving food and drink for your sake. A child is saying this. The children, they are stubborn, aren't they? They sometimes they come and sit down. Even small girls, mashallah, in the day, they are told that you can, they say, I'm fasting. They are reminded, you're fasting, you kept three fasts. No, they're very happy then. Three fasts, they'll count. After 3 hours is their seri, then is their iftari, mashallah, the children. Yes, just to make them happy and pleased. Yes, and there are great latifas and verses and poems on the children to keep the fast. One child, the mother said to her, keep the fast. And she came back from school and she was hungry, obviously, the child. She said, mother, is the time up now for me? Is it still the time of sari? You know, the morning time, is it finished yet, suhoor? And the mother, she says, quickly, give me some sari so I can keep the fast again. Subhanallah. Yes, she sat down to eat the food. She said, okay, my sari time still, I can still keep the fast after. Subhanallah. Sincerity. Yes, so if you see here now, that the more ikhlas that's developed during fasting, because Allah is making us practice through the fasting to develop the sincerity for His sake. So fasting, Allah says, inside the fast there's nothing apart from that. There's such a strong relationship is made with Allah, such a strong connection, that all other times we're ready to commit sins. And you can say a person will leave salah, he'll do other sins, he's not scared. But during fasting, whilst breaking the fast, that person's body is shaking. Khawf, fear is inside that person. No, I can't do it. Even then that's a sin. Even though that's a sin. Yes, and you can compensate somehow. Okay, I'll break a fast. I'll keep fast again afterwards. I'll pay the fine. But such big sinful people, and he's not worried during the year, but whilst breaking the fast, from the child to the old man, they've got a feeling, I can't do this action. I can't break the fast. Doesn't matter what happens, but I won't break the fast. So here we learn that most of all the connection that's made between the servant and Allah is when? Whilst he's fasting, whilst she's fasting. The greatest and the strongest ikhlas that you'll find in a person during worship, the most ikhlas sincerity you'll find when it's lillahiyat, for the sake, purely 100%, you're practicing a deed only for the sake of Allah, and there's no mixture of anything else, no contamination of anything else. Do you understand what I'm saying? Thousands of deeds, there's thousands of contamination. Sufis, listen to what I'm saying. Because you have adopted this path, this route for attaining ikhlas sincerity. Remember this. You have adopted a profession, a career, tasawwuf. All year long we need to be like the fasting person. And the greatest quality of a fasting person is ikhlas, sincerity. 30 days you practice, Allah is making you practice that leave the food and the drink and you're going to listen to Allah. And eventually then after Ramadan, when the next month starts, Sufis, you must do this action. That every action you must obey Allah's order as if Allah is looking at me. Just like you knew that Allah was watching you whilst you were fasting. That fear should stay in your heart. That recognition, no, I'm not going to look at a woman. I'm not going to look at a girl. And it's prohibited for music and banging of instruments. I won't do this. Whatever action you were fearful of during the fast, that fear should develop for the rest of the life. Allah says, every action of yours, then I will give you the reward same way. Allah's, the friends of Allah, the Wali Allah, they have high rank, high status to the heavens, and in the earth their name stays alive. They worked hard on this point. That's how they became Walis of Allah. That's where they worked hard on the struggle, the effort they made. And how much effort is necessary for this? What is the iman of a Muslim in which there is no ikhlas? How can the person say he's got iman? Because when he'll take his deeds thereafter, his Quran, recitation, qiraat, and it will be shaheed, alim, scholar, qari, and hazrat sahib, sheikh sahib, the whole line people will be stood there, haris. And the biggest scholar, you'll say, I was a scholar, Allah, I did this, I learned knowledge for you. Allah will say, for whose sake did you do this? Question marks will be asked. How much lilayat for the sake of Allah was in your knowledge? Was it for me? Was it for some other things in the world? You wanted money, mal, wealth, status, to be famous. You wanted titles. And can anyone answer Allah in the hereafter? Can anybody answer to Allah? And you'll have to raise your hands and say, I give up. I give up, Allah. For whose sake did you do these deeds? Allah will ask. How much greed did you have in your heart for the dunya? How much were you proud of your status after saying this? For my sake, Allah says, that look at the fasting person. Look at the fasting person. He did it for my sake. He was afraid of me a lot. So eventually the conclusion, a big scholar, Allah will say, throw him into heaven. Shaheed then will be booed. Oh, why you were shaheed? Mat Allah. For your sake I was shaheed. Allah gave my life. And Allah says that you were shaheed for promotion, for fame, for status. So amongst people after you, that you would be famous. You had another reason. Whenever you do ibadah, worship, good deed, and you start, you have another intention. You have another intention. Not Allah. And you mix that intention with your ibadah. I'm sat in front of you, Hazrat Sahib. Eh? I'm sat here and I'm speaking to you. And I am giving you invitation towards dhikr, dawah. If there's not for the sake of Allah my effort, if even 1% I have another intention with you or other people or with their status or rank, apart from Jahannam, nothing will be attained. Apart from hell, nothing will be attained. And if there's ikhlas and sincerity in what I'm doing, then the reward, the reply is not 700 times over. Allah says, I personally will give you the reward and I'll take you into Jannah. Say Subhanallah. Subhanallah. Do you understand what I'm saying? Yes, this is the point we need to learn. So in any good deed of ours, in any ibadah worship we do, if there's no sincerity in that, Allah doesn't look at quantity of what you're doing. Allah looks at the quality of your action. What does Allah look at? The quality. So one hadith, I'm just remembering, I'll share with you now a hadith. This is a high level hadith, high status hadith. Hazrat Mu'adh ibn Jabal radiyallahu anhu, may Allah be pleased with him, the companion. How great a companion he was. And he was being sent to Yemen. He was being made the governor of Yemen. A very lengthy hadith. I'm just giving you a portion of the hadith. So he requested, O Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, I'm departing, leaving you. I'm going to Yemen. You have dispatched me to Yemen. You have made me the hakim, the governor. Give me some nasiha, some advice. Subhanallah. So when a person requests an advice from an elder, this is sunnah. There's a lot of reward in this and there's benefit in seeking advice from a Wali Allah. When you go to a Wali Allah and you go into his company asking for nasiha, whatever beyond speech of the Wali Allah, it's all nasiha, all advice. Yes, he doesn't give a speech, a lecture, a conference. My Hazrat Sahib, 15 minutes, just 20 minutes he would speak. Not long. I never heard Hazrat Sahib speak longer than 15, 20 minutes. High level discussion at that time, mashallah. High level teaching. And he was not a small scale alim. He was the alim who graduated from the 1900s. The great muhaddithin were his class fellows. And his teachers, he did hadith daur from the 1900s. I'm talking about my sheikh who was from the 1900 time era. And he never spoke more than 10, 15 minutes. Just 10, 15, 20 minutes. And he never had a speaker. No. Somebody said, Hazrat Sahib, there's a big gathering. People right the back, they can't hear you. And a beautiful reply Hazrat Sahib gave. He said, don't come here to listen to my voice. Come here to do dhikr. The affairs of my dhikr will arrive to that person. Subhanallah. Why? He said, I didn't come here to give speech or wise a lecture. I didn't. My objective is to come here to do dhikr. I came to do dhikr. So his objective will be fulfilled. No worries. He never kept a mic in front of him. Hazrat Sahib. Why? Because he had ikhlas, sincerity in his life. The work he was doing of the deen was for Allah's sake. That whatever the person, whoever has come, if he's come for Allah's sake, Allah automatically will deliver my words to him. And his words would go to those people. That, if there's no cameras, no pictures right now there, we need cameras, video, loaded, and we need titles and announcement. What will people do when they see your face? Tell me, when they hear you, what do they have to see your face for? Yes, it's your loss, you're sitting, you have to sit with makeup, you have to do yourself, adorn yourself. All the ikhlas has gone down the drain, the amal that you're going for. Again, you can say subhanallah. Huh? You understand what I'm saying? So am I wasting your time? You understand what I'm saying? Or am I wasting your time? So when this hadith I'm sharing with you, as a Mu'adh ibn Jabal said, Ya Rasulullah, please give me some advice. It was a beautiful sabak lesson that we learn here, is that your pious elders request them for advice. And as a Mu'adh ibn Jabal, when he was requesting advice, then was he doing it for enjoyment? For his personal enjoyment? I'll listen to this, or I'll reject it, that's fine. No! He was asking that whatever I hear from my master's blessed tongue, I will practice. Mu'adh will practice on this after that. I can give my life. Mu'adh ibn Jabal will never leave the action. That's why he was requesting the nasiha, advice. When you come here to listen to me and I address you, then are you coming to listen? For this reason, that our Hazrat Sahib, you will say something. We used to go to, my Sheikh, I used to go for this reason. Then I will practice on his words. And if you won't practice, then there's a big punishment for that. Yes, that you are a deception, you are munafiq, hypocrite, you've just come here to waste time. What is your purpose here? To sit in front of a Sheikh, Wali Allah. Just to play games? He's not a madari, he's not a magician. He's a madari, to on a flute and he'll show you magic and the animals and stuff. No, when he speaks from his tongue, he will speak that whatever Allah Ta'ala wants for your benefit. Imagine this. That Wali Allah, when you go and you sit in front of him, and in your heart you have your desires, your needs, I swear by Allah, that Shaykh, that teacher will speak, and he will speak on that topic according to your needs in your heart, right then you will get the response for your needs. Because Allah wants to correct his makhluk, his creation. Yes, so why does Allah Ta'ala want to give to the munafiqeen, the hypocrites? What does Allah want to give to the foolish, stupid people? Those people have takabbur and pride, they're sitting there, they have no care, no desire to improve. But the person wants to islah, improve, he sits in a Wali Allah's majlis. Allah will allow that Wali Allah to speak on those topics that the student needs. Allah makes that person, gives inspiration to the Wali Allah. Min janib bin Allah. Because that Wali Allah, the nasiha, the advice he's giving, it's from Allah's direction that nasiha is coming to the students. From Allah's direction. Do you understand what I'm saying up to now? Or you don't understand? So this is my style of speaking when I address you, when I come in front of you. And whilst I'm coming, I just look at hadith. I said, I've read this hadith, Allah point to my mind. And Allah, please allow me to share the knowledge of the hadith from my tongue. Allow me to speak those words, that those people who come to the gathering, it can be beneficial for them who are coming. So this hadith came, I looked at the hadith and I departed from home. Yes, and how did I get this much? How much, that who shall I speak to? And I prepare, as soon as the servants of Allah come, then the words start to come from my mouth. I start to speak. Yes, so I didn't prepare and plot and discuss in detail all the points. So mashallah, it's not just for you, that right now my voice is going all the way around the world. How many sisters, men will be improved through this discussion, alhamdulillah. So he said, the Sahabi, as a Mu'adh bin Jabal, Ya Rasulullah, please give me advice. So Hazrat Rasulullah gave a beautiful answer. He was the treasure trove of nasiha. He was, through Hazrat Mu'adh bin Jabal, giving nasiha to the whole ummah.
So listen to the message.
Yes, so do you need this nasiha, this advice? Do we want this? Of course we want this, otherwise we wouldn't be here. So Rasulullah SAW said, Mu'adh, make your deen pure. Subhanallah. Who did he say this to? The Nabi, the Prophet, saying to his Hakim, his governor, who he's dispatching. Imagine the iman status of Hazrat Mu'adh ibn Jabal. And imagine the love he had for Rasulullah SAW. And imagine how much love Rasulullah SAW had for Mu'adh. You cannot imagine. And he said that Mu'adh, purify your deen. What does this mean? Correct your salah. Correct your recitation, make it pure. Make your prostration pure. What is pure? Purely for the sake of Allah, your deed should be. Do you understand what I'm saying? Then Rasulullah said, your qalb, your heart, develop sincerity, bring sincerity into your heart. Listen to this hadith carefully. In your heart, generate ikhlas, sincerity, then even your smallest deed will be enough for you. It will be enough for you. In other words, imagine the word that even your smallest scale deed will be sufficient for you in the hereafter. Then Allah is happy with you, paradise you will earn, and everything you will attain through this deed. Not quantity, just the sincerity, small deed. If your deen, if you develop ikhlas, sincerity, then when you practice Islam with this ikhlas, with sincerity, when you pray salah with ikhlas, mukhlaseen, salatul mukhlaseen, Allah says. Yes, when you try, make effort, and you're sincere. Any action, there should be no desire of the dunya in your salah. Any action you do, any amal, you need to think, and you've prepared in advance. Every action that you do, it should be alhamdulillah. Dunya should be put to the back. If the dunya is immersed and combined in the action, that deed you're doing, and if you contaminate that action with the dunya greed, then there's no reward, rather there's punishment in the hereafter. Why? Because khalis, purely, solely, you should only do that deed which is solely for Allah. If you get something in between, dunya, put it to the side. That the Sharia doesn't give me permission to do this. Do you understand what I'm saying? So he stated, Mu'adh, that make your deen pure. And how should your deen become pure? That in your heart develop, generate ikhlas, sincerity. Now, the solutions come in front of us. So what's coming in front of us, what's been explained, that the best deed is what deed? It is fasting, because fasting is the best, because in fasting there's ikhlas solely for the sake of Allah. In other actions, Allah Ta'ala says, maybe you got ikhlas, maybe not, but ikhlas, there's definitely in fasting, is such an ibadah that automatically ikhlas sincerity is coming, because without ikhlas you can't get the ibadah accepted. So you have to have ikhlas in the fasting. So there's sincerity in fasting, and if there's sincerity in fasting, Allah says, myself, I will give the response and the reply and the reward. So Allah, how do we develop the same ikhlas away from Ramadan? How do I bring it? How, what action, what hard work should we do? So from this hadith, Rasulullah said that to generate ikhlas, sincerity, to bring ikhlas in your life, do one action, that inside your heart you must generate ikhlas, sincerity. Kullu shayin sakalat and sakalat kan qalb bi dhikrillah. Everything that's dirty as a cleaning agent, the cleaning agent of the heart is dhikrullah. Clean your heart, keep it clean. Wash your heart, bring the true colors out of the heart, because all of the goodness, that the things that will spoil your sincerity are inside your heart. Allah says, I made a broom, a cleaner to clean your heart. What is that? Kullu shayin sakalat, and everything has a cleaning agent, and the cleaning agent to wash the heart, to broom it, to sweep it, is dhikrullah. The remembrance of Allah will wash the heart. That's why dhikr is taught and done. Oh, we are not mad. We're not crazy. Dhikr in the morning, dhikr in the afternoon, dhikr in the evening, crying dhikr, Allah says, while you do it, alive dhikr. Is Allah making us mad? Yes. Do so much dhikr that people start to call you majnoon, crazy. That you have adopted such a route, a path of life, and don't, until you don't become majnoon and immersed in Allah's ikhlas, and until you don't get ikhlas, all your ibadat will be thrown back on your face. No ibadah will be accepted of yours. No deed. You understand what I'm saying? So on this we need to work hard. And the method to work hard is what Allah says, make your heart clean and pure. And the way to clean it, Allah has given us the soap. Kullu shayin sakalatun sakalatun qalb bi dhikrillah. That the remembrance of Allah is the cleaning agent for the heart. That's why we do dhikr in the company of the waliyullah, in the khanqah. We do dhikr in the morning, in the evening. We do it in the night. We do it while we're awake. And after that, dhikr, there are different forms. Some dhikr you have to learn by going to the shaykh. Sometimes you have to be immersed in the company of the shaykh, because dhikr makes the person crazy, mad, in love with dhikrullah. That's the sahaba, the whole jama'ah sat. And few times we read this hadith, we share this hadith. The Prophet ﷺ said, "Oh my sahaba, shall I not tell you such an action today? That in the eyes of Allah is the greatest, the most purest of deeds." Purest of deeds. It is the what? The most purest and cleanest of deeds in the eyes of Allah. In the eyes of Allah. Close to Allah. In other words, your action is pure and clean when it gets to Allah. And there's no dirt, no fakeness, no deception. It's the purest of the deeds. Bala ya Rasulullah, shall I not tell you a deed, O my sahaba, that your status, your ranking will be increased so much that no other action can increase your status as much as this deed. Rasulullah said, shall I not tell you a deed that gold, silver, even if you spend it according to the heights of Uhud, the mountain, it's greater than that even. Then Rasulullah said, shall I not tell you of an action that you are fighting and clashing in the expedition and your sword breaks when you've clashed and is greater than that, the deed. So what's left now after that? What actions are left to compare to in the eyes of Allah? Purity, increasing the status, greater than spending gold and silver and fighting. Bala ya Rasulullah, please tell us, our mother and father, may they be sacrificed when you, what deed is so great in the nature? Rasulullah replied, dhikrullah. Remembrance of Allah. Why is it greater? Why is it so much greater? Reason? Because it makes your deen pure. And due to that, all of your actions become pure and accepted. Your smallest deed that you do in reward to that, Allah says, I'll give you 700 times over the multiplication, Allah says, but for this deed that's pure, I'll give you the response and reward directly myself, personally. That's why dhikrullah, wala dhikrullahi akbar, is the greatest deed. Understand the point? Yes. Brothers, don't waste your time. Fafirru ila Allah, run towards Allah, run towards Allah. Fafirru ila Allah, run to Allah. Seek Allah, look for your destination, your end point. Seek it, look for it, find it. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, according to his deen, nasiha, his advice, make your deen according to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, make your deen khalis, pure. And your deen cannot be pure until, unless your heart is not pure. And your heart cannot be pure until you do not do dhikrullah, remembrance of Allah. Okay, so who's saying this? The hadith is telling us, the Prophet of Allah is telling us this. How can we do it ourselves ultimately? We can't do it self-taught. How can we leave this path that's been defined by the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam? How can you be separate from the dhikr of Allah? How can you detach yourself from dhikrullah? Tell me. Nobody can do this. Nobody can decline dhikrullah as the greatest deed, greatest impact. A heart does not accept that. So go. And for dhikr, apart from dhikr, dhikr of Allah, if you don't have dhikr, then in your deen there's no ruh, there's no soul, there's no life. In that body where there's no soul, what do we say? He's a dead person. He's died. So the hadith says as well, he who does dhikr and he who doesn't do dhikr, the difference is like the difference between he who's alive and he who's passed away. So you eat and drink though. He eats and drinks though. He's alive. Allah says he doesn't have ikhlas. Allah Ta'ala, he says he's doing all the ibadah, praying, but he's preparing for Jahannam. He has no sincerity. It's not for the sake of Allah. He's doing for his sake. Doing for the sake of dunya, world, greed, fame, status, to be accepted and held in high esteem. Allah says, but he doesn't have sincerity. But as soon as that person's heart becomes clean and shafaf and pure, automatically in his deeds, Allah Ta'ala's love, he is implementing the deeds with Allah's love and Allah's approval. Inshallah, I'm hopeful you'll have understood this message. It's a very valuable message of Ramadan. And this small effort of mine, I've presented to you this knowledge. The essence of this is this, my brothers, make effort. In the deen, this requires effort. In Islam, it requires effort. If we don't make effort, you don't attain nothing. Iman is a great, great treasure. After Iman, your deen, develop it into sincerity. Bring sincerity into your practice and work hard for this. Do dhikr kathir in high abundance, quantity. And the best way to do kathir dhikr is dhikr of the heart. In other words, remember Allah in the heart. Leave tasbihs, leave rosary beads, leave your tongue. Remember your Allah in your heart. Yes, Allah said himself. Wadhkurum tabatu. Allah says that leave everything and just remember my name in your heart. Just keep repeating my name in your heart. So this dhikr, learn it. Learn, say to Wali Allah, teach me this dhikr. As soon as he teaches you this dhikr, your dhikr will become alive. It will start motoring. And then with the purity, cleanliness of heart, you can do the work of the your hajj and zakat and and fasting and nafal stuff and deen and dunya, all your actions should then be with ikhlas sincerity. Otherwise 100% you're in danger that there's contamination and showing off, because you have not turned your heart towards Allah Ta'ala's dhikr with 100% sincerity. Is a danger state you're in there. You understand what I'm saying today, brothers? So that's why we sat here for, let's do dhikr for a short while and just start this, initiate this. They say to Wali Allah, please teach me dhikr of Allah in my heart. This is something to learn, isn't it? He will teach you dhikr, and after that do your dhikr alhamdulillah with ease, end of story. And whatever your line is, whatever your career, profession, you're doing the work of the deen, and keep on doing dhikr of Allah in parallel. Don't need to stop anything. No peoples are stopped what they're doing. Dhikr does not stop any work of your deen or the dunya, rather expands it, multiplies it. One action you're doing without ikhlas, that's just stuck, that's in a trap, that's not successful. But the other action you do with ikhlas, sincerity, that will be higher in the status, much higher. And the effects of that deed you'll start to see. You'll start to see the effects of that deed. And then if you're doing the action with it, sincerity. If you're doing it with sincerity. You understand what I'm saying? So we should do the dhikr of Allah. Okay, time is short. Inshallah, what time is iftar today, breaking the fast? 28 today? Okay, so for a short while, let's remember Allah. Yes, because remembering Allah itself is very valuable. Asr time, Allah has given great rewards. It's Ramadan, alhamdulillah. And it's also the night of Jummah is about to come, alhamdulillah. So very valuable, precious time right now. Millions and millions, billions of times over, grateful to Allah. Billions of times over, grateful to Allah. Allah Ta'ala sat us down for His dhikr. And Allah Ta'ala has made us busy in His dhikr. And I will tell all brothers when they are present in the masjid that right now focus towards dhikr and come towards Allah's dhikr. Everything is great. But sometimes in the day Allah selected for a certain specific action, that's greater than action at that time. Remember, every action at its specific time is greater. So right now I'll request you all that dhikr of Allah, join this gathering. Whoever's in the masjid right now present in this hall, come forward, because this is the greatest deed right now, the dhikr of Allah. This is majlis dhikr, remembrance of Allah, and dhikr, praise be to Allah, asr time, it is the greatest time to do dhikr Allah. Allah's Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that me is beloved this deed after asr, there's a jama'ah, sat down a group of people and I go and sit with them, this is most beloved for me. Imagine. So right now this amal, this deed is the greatest deed right now, action, that we join the dhikr of Allah gathering with Allah's tawfiq. This is a great treasure. Recite Durood Sharif.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين الصلاة والسلام على سيد المرسلين شفيع المرسلين اللهم اغفر لنا ذنوبنا وذنوبنا أصلنا وجدنا اللهم اغفر لنا ما قدمت وما أخرت وما سرت ربنا تقبل منا إنك وتوب علينا إنك التواب الرحيم وصلى الله تعالى على خير خلقه محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين برحمتك يا أرحم الراحمين سبحان ربك رب العزة عما يصفون والسلام على المرسلين والحمد لله رب العالمين آمين.